Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It's Four Ends, the foodie.
And we are back.
Guys, I'm sick.
As a dog.
As a dog. This is a labor of love. I'm super, super sick. I think it's whatever. I don't know when you guys are going to listen to this, but I think it's whatever's been making its way around. I don't know if it's the bubonic
making
plague.
Making my way downtown, walking fast. Faces person of how well am I gonna really kick?
If I join that, if I join you with that song, I will expend all the energy I have.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah. I'm doing it you today because I'm holding my mic like Mariah
Carey. I was about to say, talk about trading.
I literally came out the car. I literally came out the car. I came home from work and then set up my stuff. So I was like, I can't be asked to be screwing this thing into the table. So here
fair
we are.
Enough. But yeah, they're going to be a lot of sniffles and sneezes and coughs, but you'll bear with me. And it's authentic.
If that's your thing, stay tuned.
Literally, if you like that shit, stay tuned. If that's your kink, stay tuned.
How did we get here? So soon.
So this documentary we're covering is the Boy Scouts. I can't remember. I never know the titles.
It's called Scouts Honor, the Secret Files of the Boy Scouts of America.
There you go. BD's always there to... That's why there's two of us. Mm-hmm. So the documentary opens up in Plano. I feel like that's not right, but it is right.
I would say Plano, because in optometry, when you have no prescription, or when it's zero, we say Plano. So I would say Plano, but I don't know how these men...
It just seems like such a weird... Yeah. Police department. And we meet Detective Mike, who specializes in crimes against children. And can I just say, I really love Detective Mike. And
who's this? Is it Johnson, the black guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I continue...
Wait. Oh, is his name Mike Johnson?
Yeah.
Why did you call him Johnson the whole time? Love.
And I continue to love him... Yeah, throughout the documentary. So the interviewer does this thing, and I don't think it's the producer because it says interviewer, but it might be the producer, but it does this thing that BD loves where he's talking to him behind the camera. So Mike tells us that in 2010,
do you know, when you said 2010, I was like, okay, yeah, cool, that makes sense. 2010 sounds weird.
He started in the 10th year of the 2000s. as the Youth Protection Director of Boy Scout of America. And I've always heard about Boy Scout, but mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a thing, if that makes sense.
I knew it was a thing, but it wasn't a thing to me.
Like, I knew it was a thing in the sense that, yeah, people do the Boy Scouts, but I didn't know it was an organization to this extent.
I didn't know it was that big. Like, I thought it was like, you know, they sell cookies and shit. Like, you know, yeah. The Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, all that kind of stuff. I knew it was a thing, but like I didn't realize it was like
a thing. Yeah,
a thing,
like an establishment, an institution.
Yeah, the conglomerate,
literally. So he comes in looking for how to make it safe for kids, but he says that when he joined, it was clear that they just wanted to project the image that they'd created for themselves rather than him learning the truth and making things better. So we meet Patrick Boyle. He's a journalist, and he reads this article about a scout leader in 1987 who's been abusing scouts, I don't know what they're called. And then later on, so he kind of parks that in his head, he doesn't really do anything with that information, he's just like, oh, okay. But then later on, he finds out about another scout leader who was abusing boys in the Boy Scouts. And then at this point, because of this like abuse, the Boy Scouts of America has to like turn over confidential files, and it turns out like they have these files where they have documented all the instances of abuse and leaders that were red flagged. So like people who have had kind of any indication of problematic behavior, and they've been flagged, and the scout, like Boy Scouts of America, have this documented
literally under lock and key at their national headquarters. As in, this thing is so big, they have national headquarters.
And it's kind of like, if they came out and spoke about this, this could be more, I don't know what the word is, than like the sex offenders register. And they've just kept this within themselves. Like, it's fucking insane.
As in, literally the definition of sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
Soon after the Scouts were founded in England in 1908, the Scouts there realized they had a problem, because scouting has always attracted men who were attracted to the boys, and the struggle for the company has been to keep them out and keep it quiet.
So he says that after the Boy Scouts were founded in England, which I didn't know, in 1908, Americans stole every good thing from us and make it worse.
Do they, except for the office, did they, so are there Scouts here then?
I don't know. It was founded, I've never heard of Boy Scouts. What I've heard of though is brownies, which my sisters did.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I heard.
But I don't know the boys equivalent, but
maybe the Brits were like, oh yeah, fuck your fucking little scout thing, and then he goes, yeah, like, fuck you bitches, I'm going to America. America's gonna, maybe that's what, maybe that was the vibe.
So the Scouts realized they had a problem because scouting had always attracted men who were attracted to boys. And
like, I'm sorry,
it's
I'm
the perfect
so sorry.
Environment.
It's just like, do you know what, yeah? I don't know how this is going to sound, but you know that this is the perfect environment, yeah, to capture men who are paedophiles, okay? Mm. And it's like, don't you think that you could be in partnership with the FBI, local law enforcement, to get these monsters off the street and away from children? Do you not think that that would be the thing? Instead of keeping under lock and key at national headquarters, don't you think that you could be like, oh, hey guys, suspicious guy over here, bit weird, yeah? And you just get them off the streets. Like, or maybe there's like a little hunting accident and accidentally now he's pierced through the heart. I don't know, maybe. I don't get
this
it.
This could be to catch a predator on crack. It could be, but
on
they chose,
crack. It really
they
could
chose
be.
Not to.
There would be unlimited seasons, unlimited episodes.
Literally.
And it's like what they say about like the bully, the bullied, and the bystander, right? Like as a bystander, you do nothing. Like you're low-key complicit. Do you know what I mean? Like in this case, Boy Scouts of America, you are complicit because you are aware of these people abusing children. And instead of making it so that they are punished and more importantly, away from the kids, you're keeping them there. Or you're just... Anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah. Because the fuckery hasn't even... We haven't done.
We're like 5 minutes in, if that.
So as BD said, instead of like helping the FBI, they just focused on quote unquote trying to keep out the pedophiles and or paedophiles and keep, but most importantly, keeping quiet about what was going on. So in America, they had this red flag list, and it's a file of people that should not be allowed to volunteer, and the files were completely hidden, as we've said.
From
but like
everyone.
we kind of learned later on that the flag list doesn't mean you couldn't work. It's just people that have had like instances or things against them, some of these people were still scout leaders or troop leaders.
And it's like, you can't stop. If I live in Alabama, and then I'm on some red list, like, and then I move to like New York, like who's gonna now say, oh yeah, you're on the red list from Alabama?
So Boyle does this expose, and there are 400 cases of abuse that he's picked up on from the files, and he gets a lot of backlash because at the time people were like, this is a really prestigious institution, it's really positive, it's cookie cutter, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. So then we learn what the fuck he's talking about because we learn about Thomas Hacker. So he was a leader he was a leader and a scoutmaster who abused children repeatedly,
and he was based in Illinois.
Yeah. And sorry guys, we never said this in the beginning, but this episode is all of the warnings, trigger warnings. So yeah, like, I mean, if you haven't deduced by now, then just, if you're not trying to hear this, then you should come back next episode. But yeah, he abused children repeatedly. And he was in the files at the time of his discovery, but he was one of the most prolific paedophiles, like, at the time that the police had ever caught.
Do you know what it means to be a prolific paedophile?
Honestly, prolific
is... Do you know what that means? To be prolific.
A double P.
God have mercy.
So basically, this guy would get caught, BSA would bury it, and then he would move to another state and join another troop
and do the same thing
and
again.
Do the same shit again. So Thomas says he chose Boy Scouts because they made it easy, and of course they made it easy. You have this environment where you're barely doing any checks, people aren't talking to each other, you're not sharing information,
you're around burying a bunch of boys, you have a, you're in a, an authoritative figure
like, and they're sleeping over,
like you can isolate them, their parents are not around, like they have something to gain from this Boy Scouts. It's like an honor and achievement. The power dynamic is crazy, the age difference is crazy, the potential for madness is crazy. Like, it just makes you think, like, this is the perfect environment for something like this to happen. So why aren't there more checks in place?
It's literally a candy store for pedophiles. I'm so sorry. So we meet Doug Kennedy, and he was a scouter. And what are they called?
It's scout. It's Boy Scouts. They're scouts.
Okay, he was a scouter. And he describes how he was asleep at camp and he was sexually assaulted by his camp leader. And we also meet Christopher Hayward, another Boy Scout survivor who was threatened by the camp leader that he would kill his family if he spoke out about the abuse. So we're back with Mike, who says he just wasn't getting what he needed from, like, the higher-ups. Like, he needed information around, you know, safety protocols.
He's a youth protection guy.
Yeah, and they're not giving it to him. So there's something he asked for, which is like a basic thing. It's called a duty of care document. And it from my understanding, it's something that you detail how you look after the Boy Scouts that are in your care and stuff like that. And from the way he was talking about it, I feel like an establishment like this should have one. It's like
because a bare minimum. You guys have national headquarters. You're telling me you don't have standard of care document.
Yeah. What? So a VP tells him it doesn't exist. But then he later goes out and finds out that it does exist.
He literally goes to the CDC. He went to an authority to fight. Do you know how embarrassing that is?
Embarrassing.
Like, why don't you know this? Why is this not? Why has your company not told you this?
Yep. So when he gets the document, it turns out that it had been signed off by a man called Doug Smith, who got arrested in a child porn ring.
Girl.
And you can tell that this guy's, so they show like this clip of him and you can tell he's fucking dodgy from that comb over. Like, I'm so sorry, like that is my true crime, spoiler alert. So we meet Steve, and he's the general counsel of the BSA, and he says the Boy Scouts is now safe. And he doesn't understand anything Mike is saying, that him and Mike got on like a house on fire. There was very good communication. Anything Mike needed for his job, he was happy to provide. And that by the time Mike was leaving, they had put a lot of protocols into place that Mike was happy with. And it's all bullshit.
And Steve is the person that they have just elected and like basically thrown in front of the camera and said, hey, like, come and answer for us on this documentary.
Yeah, because it's better for them to have someone than
not. To not have anyone.
But exactly. This guy's bullshitting us.
He is, and he's also not great at it, yeah. And it's like he's trying so hard to be politically correct and like say the right thing and avoid saying the wrong thing. And the producers do this amazing thing where it's like Steve will be saying something, Mike will contradict it. Mm. Steve will be saying something else, Mike will contradict it. And it's like, I don't know what he's talking about. It's just so, like, it's giving reality TV, yeah. Like confessionals.
It's a massive mess. So we learn about Troop 137 in Louisiana. This is horrific. And it was horrible. It's really bad because it essentially became a paedophile ring. So
the Troop 137, so that's one of the Boy Scouts. Like, it's Boy Scouts, but it's just located in Louisiana. It's one of the... That's
but then
crazy,
it's
you know?
Kind of, it's kind of sketchy as to if it was officially, because it was basically a bunch of single men who would approach single mothers with financial difficulties saying they were part of the Boy Scouts and they wanted to help their sons and bring them in, and it was fine, they didn't have to pay anything. So there were a lot of boys who were from low income households where
vulnerable,
the mothers
vulnerable children.
So they do say they were part of the Boy Scouts of America, but we never get clarification on if they were officially, but I think they were, because from what I understand, it doesn't take much to set up a troop.
And also, so, I don't think they would have involved that. They would have included it in this if it wasn't.
So basically, these men would essentially have all these boys, bring them to different locations where they would be raped,
Their mothers would drop them off. It's kind of like... Imagine like a church youth leader or something. Mm. Like you as a mum, you're struggling, you know, you don't want your children like turning out the wrong way, you know, childcare might not be an option. This is like everything in one. They're going to get an education, or they're going to at least learn positive things. Yeah. They're going to have good role models. You get some time to yourself, or to go to work, or to do whatever. Like, it's a win-win. But it's literally lose. There are no winners here.
There are no winners. Well, I mean, other than the paedophiles.
They will not win when they're in hell.
I mean, that's just true. True that.
It's just like the guy, there's a guy, and the thing that's good about this documentary is that a lot of the survivors of this abuse, they are now adults. Yeah, they're adult men, and they are here showing their faces, talking to us, explaining what happened to them and how they are now. Yeah. And I think that that is such a bold, brave thing to do, and also a very necessary thing to do, because people like to, and we get into the whole like, oh, gay, pedophile, gay, all that kind of stuff later on, but it's like people like to shame boys, men, people who have been victims of sexual assault, and like these guys have come out to be like, listen, this happened to me and this is how I got through it, or like, I want to speak up because these guys should be punished.
Yeah,
because this guy was, honestly, he was like a trooper. Like, hearing him speak, he was saying how like his mum would drop him to hotels to be raped. Obviously, yeah, she didn't know that's what was going on.
Yeah,
but it's just like, it's just like abhorrent. Like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
It's the worst of the worst. So, like I said, these boys were being raped, pictures were being taken of them, and then finally he goes to the doctors one day, and he just says he had the confidence, he doesn't know what it was, to tell the doctor what was going
on. This was such a beautiful moment.
And the doctor just said, leave it with me, and basically sent a tip, and everything was shut down and the men were arrested.
Yeah, everyone gets arrested.
And it's like, finally, in that moment, that boy gets saved. Like,
and if you work in healthcare, if you work anywhere with children, with people, like, be that person, like, be the kind of person that shows empathy, be the kind of person that people can speak to about these kind of things. Because imagine if you didn't feel comfortable around that doctor.
Yeah. So Mike says he suggested BSA checking the IDs of volunteers. He's like, listen, any basic thing you do, you upload your ID. Why aren't we checking the IDs of these volunteers? But they said no, it would be too lengthy and too costly, and they didn't want to deter people from becoming troop leaders. Can you fucking imagine just putting something in where it says upload your ID? Anybody, any Tom, Dick and Harry could be a troop leader.
That's so crazy.
Quite literally.
That's so crazy.
So BSA had told
us... And it's like a leader. We're not talking about a member of the choir. You're literally a leader. You're going to where be you're alone with children. For their lives. And literally, even if you're not thinking about like sexual assault, yeah, do they even know first aid? Like,
so the BSA had told scout leaders and scouts not to report if they had been abused. So basically, they should tell people within the BSA, but not to go and take it to their parents or anything. But it's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And Mike had said that at the time he'd noticed, or he'd done some research that showed that kids were really comfortable with using cell phones and, you know, speaking anonymously, because they may not always feel comfortable going to an adult. So he suggested a hotline to allow kids report cases anonymously, but that was shut down.
Yeah, like, and then they say, okay, report to a trusted adult, right? Which someone says, this is very stupid because the trusted adult is abusing me, so why would I trust any of these other adults
here? Yeah, yeah. So Boyle says, we're back with Boyle, and he says,
the early scout movement was built largely on religion. It is almost a religious movement, even though it's technically secular. Boy Scout program was set up in a way that was perfect for religions to adopt it as their youth program. And in fact, religions became the foundation of scouting.
This is a perfect segue into Christopher Schultz. So we meet his brother, Richard. Christopher isn't in the documentary, but their scout leader was a priest, Brother Edmund. So Brother Edmund was abusing them like crazy, but like was very fixated on Christopher. And there's even this like time where he takes them to a caravan in the middle of nowhere and like abuses them in the most horrific way. And Christopher ends up taking his own life. Now, when the Schultz obviously find out what happened and what led to Christopher taking his own life, they move forward with like, you know, charges and stuff like that. And they're basically ostracized from society and the church.
Yep. And the church. They're shunned by the church.
They're shunned. Like, a priest comes to them at their home, and rather than to empathize with the fact that they've lost their son and their kids have been abused, he's basically saying to them, look, like, you know, you guys should really think of stopping all of this, because if you don't, things are going to get worse. I can't protect you from the way people feel about this. Can you imagine?
You're basically threatening me.
Yeah, and Richard is just saying that, like, since then he just lost, like, all his faith within the church, because how can you treat people like this after mm-hmm. they were the ones after that were
they've
hurt?
Already been so mistreated, yeah.
So, as per you'd expect with this kind of institution, it's inherently homophobic.
Oh, God. You know what I have? Again, homophobia leading to conflation of homosexuality and paedophilia.
Always. And because they
always
were,
find their way there. They always find their way there.
They always do.
Instead of you to look at the problem that's right in front of you and focus on that, you have to now try and bring the gaze into it.
Because they're minding their business. They were in, like, what, Studio 56?
Studio 54, busting the move.
Andy Warhol
and them, man. Like, a new man trying to bring them into this shit.
Now, why am I in it?
Literally.
So because of this, they say that it's not a paedophile problem, it's a homosexual problem. And there was a ban on gay scout leaders.
Can you imagine?
And it's kind of like that thing that, like, homophobic men do when they're like, oh, if someone's gay, they act funny around them. And it's like, bro, like, even if someone's gay, who told you you're their type? You don't even wash your bum. Like, be FFR.
But that's why it's kind of like, it makes sense why they would think that way, because men feel like, oh, because they are attracted to a woman, that woman is also attracted to them.
Yeah.
And that's how a man can move to you, and you can look at him and be like, what about me made you think that you feel about you the way that you seem to feel about me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Delusions of grandeur, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. So of course they would apply that to gay men.
And some of the victims come out and say, like, obviously all of this homophobia just led to more shame around reporting and abuse. Because we meet one of the victims who is who identifies as homosexual, and he says that he was abused, and it was kind of like, even when he came out and said, it was like, oh, okay, like, this is wrong, but I hope it doesn't make you feel, you know, doubt, like, your heterosexuality. And he was like, these two things
are
not.
At the time, isn't it, when he was young, it was like, listen, like, this happened, it was bad, but remember, like, you're straight. So it's like, you are, like, stripping me of my autonomy once when you abuse me, and twice now that I'm sure of who I am. Like,
so there's this whole thing about the Dale decision, which was essentially the banning of the gay volunteers within the Boy Scouts of America. And BSA wanted to uphold this. And Mike is saying, like, this pressure was coming primarily from the Mormon church, who made all their boys go through the Scouts program. So whilst other churches kind of had it there, like, for the Mormons, it was a thing. Like, you went through the Scouts program. And Steve, we're back here with Steve, and he denies it. Steve looks like, best way to describe Steve looks like the police officers that would switch off the body cam. Like, that is, he's the embodiment of that. So when he's denying this, on-screen text tells us that on July 2015, 15 years after the Dale decision, the Boy Scouts lifted the ban on gay scout leaders. On December 31st, 2019, the Church of Latter-day Saints, aka Mormon Church, left the Boy Scouts and is no longer affiliated with the organization. Now, obviously, reading that, you might think, okay, cool, but it took like 4 years. Well, actually, no, because some of these things take a really long time for, like, protocols, contracts to end, blah, blah, blah. So I would say it was directly
linked. As soon as they could, they were.
Yeah, I think as soon as they could, they bounced. So we learn about the Portland case, which is where Timur Dykes, I don't know if I pronounced that properly, was in a Mormon-sponsored troop. The bishop had been warned about him. But, okay, if I speak,
listen to me.
Keep sweet and pray,
or
whatever
it's
called.
Do you know how many lives I would have to take if this was my child? Because everyone is getting done out here. Like, are you crazy? Are you crazy? You can't even feign ignorance. You can't even feign ignorance.
Bro, keep
everyone's
sweet
dead.
And
lie.
Pray. Just watch that documentary, and I don't need to say too much more. But
what documentary?
Keep Sweet and Pray. Is that what it's called? Yeah.
No, Keep Sweet and Obey.
Is it Obey?
No, it's Pray. It's Pray. It's Pray.
Yeah. But then
it's
many...
the one about Warren. Is it Warren Jeffs?
Yeah.
Bro,
there are many a documentary about, and like, I know some of you will say that they are the FLDS, which is the fundamentalists, but even before they broke apart, come on, BFFR, please, the whole thing is
that documentary is crazy.
So the bishop had been warned about him, but still let him be a troop leader, which is why I said to you, there are no checks and balances in this whole setup.
And it's like, to what end? Like, to what end? Like, how does it benefit you, Bishop, to have... Is it just an ego thing? Is it a reputation thing? Is it a money thing? Like, nobody when you go to sleep at night, like, what is it that's making you think, okay, cool, well, at least I...
Yeah.
But what is it?
So... He's still a troop leader and he molests over 17 kids in the troop. Can you imagine? Over 17 kids. So he was rampant.
Prolific.
So Kerry Lewis, one of his victims, is awarded 18 million by the BSA. And this was done using the files we spoke about earlier are called the perversion files. And after this settlement, the judge orders all of the files to be made public, because at this point they're still not public.
That's one good thing about this as in taking this to trial, because yes, the plaintiff is awarded 18.5 million, but also now those files have to be made public.
So
and they were trying so hard to hide them, but now everyone can see them. Exactly.
So lawyers and all of them are fighting, and then eventually, like, the statute of limitations on, I think I'm right with saying this, because I couldn't read on some of those one, but this on child sex crimes gets lifted, right?
Hmm?
That's what happens in that time, in what they were saying, that the statute of limitations on child sex crimes.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
There isn't one for murder, but there is for child sex abuse.
Yeah. So all the lawyers in their mail are working super hard, and basically they are able to get the statute of limitations on child sex crimes lifted, which, if you think about it, is fucking ridiculous. Why is there a statute of limitations?
Why
is that? Is that a, so is it that after 20 years the abuse leaves my body,
it and goes away,
I'm cleared,
you're healed, you
I'm
are healed, deliberate.
I'm deliberate, literally. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? So it gets lifted in New York, New Jersey, and California. And knowing that the claims they tried to bury would surface, the BSA files for bankruptcy.
Fuck them forever.
Fuck them niggas. Because obviously these are
Chapter
major...
11 bankruptcy, which is the one where you basically do it to be petty.
Yeah. And these are states where there are really big, like a large amount of troops. So they know that, you know...
Yeah. Imagine, a class action suit. You might not done for.
Yeah, finished. You're bankrupt for real. So 82,000 victims come forward.
Can you imagine?
Come forward. Not even that this is the total number.
Literally, like, come forward and are alive.
And Steve is just trying to say that, oh, like, we haven't even... we're not sure that these are all the victims. Like, just fuck off. Like, he's basically trying to say that there's no way to validate that these people are all victims.
Okay. So 80,000 people made a group chat. And they all said, you know what we're going to do? Yeah. We're going to lie on BSA. Just for bants, get some money, cheeky money. Like, so the interviewer I actually love, because, like, he's trying to make this Steve guy, like, take a position. Like, he's getting onto him. And he's trying to do this whole, like, oh, politically correct, like, not really committing to one side or the other. But, like, this interview is making him basically be like, nah, like, say what you're saying. Like, let's get it on the record that this is how you feel. Yeah, say it with your chest.
And I don't know, like, I kind of would have preferred if they just didn't have representation for this documentary. As much as it's good to hear from the other side, like, it's just like...
Steve, it's not really good to hear from the other side, to be honest, because, like, what they should have come here to say is that, okay, our processes could have been better, we could have this. They should have just released a statement at the end and said, yeah, this is... Because you're trying to bring this guy to basically defend. And the thing is, if that Mike Johnson guy wasn't there, then maybe this could have, like... Maybe it would have, like, worked a little bit. But yeah. Mike is here to say, I tried to do this, they said no. And you're here to say, no, that's not the case. Why would I lie?
Yeah. What was the reason? So we see, like, different victims. And basically, the long story short, what they're saying is that it's not about the money. Like, it's really not even about the money. They just want to take their power back. Like, they've been silenced. They were told they couldn't speak up. Now they can. They just want to take their power back. And then some of the lawyers are coming and saying that, look, bankruptcy is set up to protect the corporation.
You worry that a lawyer will settle on the cheap. Why litigate a case in full if with a 1 minute phone call, I can get half that amount? It's not great for the victim, but it's very good for the lawyer because they're still getting 30% of 50% for doing almost no work. That's what you need to worry about, the ways in which the lawyer's incentives are going to depart from the incentives of the victim.
And it's essentially just saying that, like, this kind of litigation is not the place to talk about. This is not what it was created for. the chapter 11, these conversations were not what we weren't meant to be discussing child abuse cases in these things, because you're seeing then these people have filed for bankruptcy, and this particular, like BD said, the particular kind of bankruptcy they file for is to, is just to say fuck you, you can't touch our shit, we're going to spend years trying to look at our assets, you'll never get anything. And you're talking about people who have been abused by your institution.
And like, you don't care. You actually don't care.
And with these kind of cases, when lawyers get involved, they're more thinking about making the money. Like, in criminal court, it's not really about making money. But with these kind of things, it's like, okay, like he said, if I can call and get 50K in a minute, why do I need to go to court? And they don't care about the victim and how the victim feels. So the producer is telling Steve that you guys said sex abuse wasn't a problem, but there are 82K, oh, so this is where he says it, there are 82K victims, that was a cover up. And he says 82K over what period? Abuse happens everywhere, we're working to weed these people out. And essentially just like, people, kids, he literally says people can get abused at home, they can get abused at schools, do you then blame the institutions? We're doing our best. And this is over a period of like however long.
It's like a blatant like disregard. It's almost like you came here to say fuck you. Yeah. Like, Steve should have just sat there and been like, fuck you, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And walked out. That's what he should have done. Because and that's basically what he did, just longer.
And someone makes this point in the documentary. They're like, these are 82K people who have come forward because they knew that the statute of limitations was lifted, and therefore it's been over a 20-year period. We haven't heard from the kids who are in it now.
Exactly.
That is going to come out in another 20 years. And Mike basically says, fuck you. That organization is not safe for boys or girls at this point in time. They still have a long ways to go.
And the thing is that they're not even going. Like, it's not as if like, okay, cool, we've accepted this thing. Here are the perversion files. Police, here, take these men. They're pedophiles. Yeah. This is what we're doing now. Now you need ID. Now you need a criminal check. Now you need this training, that training. From what this documentary showed us, that hasn't even happened. So it's not even as if like, oh, now 20 years on, we're better off. We're not. We're in the same situation. Because you guys are trying. How can you make a change if you can't even acknowledge there's a problem? Like, to you, you think everything's okay. So what motivation do you have then to change? You don't.
None. So we're approaching the end of the documentary, and we can hear from different victims. Some of them we haven't actually seen before this point in time, and basically they're all expressing how they feel coming forward. And it's a similar kind of story where like, they've all struggled, they've all had really difficult periods in their life. I think it was Doug was saying like, he never was able to tell his mum about the abuse. Like, they talked for many.
Yeah, she died.
She died, and they talked, like, before she died, they talked for hours and opened up about stuff. And you know, he was really difficult in high school because of dealing with the trauma, but they just were not able to talk about the abuse. And she died not knowing. And some people were talking about their friends who had, you know, died by suicide also from the trauma. So it was intense. And then On Screen Text tells us the Delaware bankruptcy judge approved a settlement plan.
To me, it's really heartbreaking seeing like the men talk about like the shame and the embarrassment that they feel after being abused. Like, that's, it's like what Florence was saying, like, it doesn't just go away now because the statute of limitations is up. Do you know what I mean? Like, that impacts the way that they are, the way that they've lived, their experiences, who they are, their confidence, all that kind of stuff. And it's just like, how can people not see that and realize how important it is to prevent this from happening to other boys, other girls?
Yeah.
So sad.
So On Screen Text tells us the Delaware bankruptcy judge approved a settlement plan for $26 billion. The boys' scouts have spent an estimated $300 million on legal fees. In total, attorneys and bankruptcy consultants stand to share approximately $1 billion. Most survivors don't know how much they'll receive or when. The BSA will continue to operate. So again, it just reiterates everything we spoke about. It's nothing to do with the victims or caring about the victims. It's all about money and protecting the money. And the Boy Scouts continue to operate like they're doing their thing.
Yeah, it's fucked.
I would say watch the documentary. It's very... It's very emotive. Yeah, like
you feel... Yeah, it's on Netflix as well, and it's one episode.
you feel things watching it, and it's
really
heartbreaking.
Sad. It really is sad. Like, those guys that spoke up, I just wanted to hug them and just be like, ugh,
yeah,
it's going to be fine. Really, really.
And there's
sad.
So many more. Of that 82K, there are so many that didn't come forward.
Of course.
Some have passed away. Of taking
course. That
taking
number it. Is way higher than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's time for...
The real crime, I think, was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider to be a crime.
Mine was Doug Smith's comb over. I said it. He had the... Oh, he yeah. had, like, if you could draw a paedophile, that's what you would draw. He had that comb over, greasy comb over.
Yeah.
That was very problematic. What? I don't even understand the... If somebody has a comb over, please explain. I don't understand the concept of a comb over, because it's like... That bald patch, we can see it.
Yeah.
So what? When you comb over the four straggly bits
like
of hair...
Like, if you had enough hair to cover the bald spot, you wouldn't have a bald spot.
Yeah. So with that so four straggly pieces of hair, we can see that it's... I don't know what you're trying to do.
I don't know. You should just embrace yourself at that point.
For reals.
Or shave it all off.
Or go to Turkey.
Mine was Mike. So near the end, Mike was crying... And he picks up some like huge towel to wipe his eyes. I was like, bro, didn't they have tissues? I didn't get it. Like, it literally Aww. Was like gym towel. I was like, why Not is this Mike. Next to you? Very random.
Yeah. But, guys, there isn't going to be an episode next week. We are on a little hiatus. We'll let you know when we'll be back, when we're going to be back. But there are many an episode for you guys to enjoy and re-listen to. I think you guys should actually, if you've listened to all of our episodes religiously week after week, I think it would be good to go back to the beginning, listen from the start, see how we've grown, see the stuff we talk about, laugh, joke, and send us comments, tweet us and be like, oh, I'm listening to this episode, it was so funny when XYZ. You literally
or send us your real crime for any of the episodes, just say what yeah. episode it is, say what your real crime is, send us a voice note, and then maybe when we get back, if we have enough, we will do a credits episode where we just play the real
different
crimes.
Yeah. Think about Rachel Dolezal. We did that episode was funny as fuck. Or
that was the second
Patrick,
one that we did, I think.
Patrick Schneider? No, Dan Schneider. Is it Dan
Schneider?
Go back, listen to. You can literally see the whole trajectory of my relationship. I like in the podcast. I just realized that from
did
when
you?
I'm yeah no 100% because we started this podcast in February.
Oh, your as in your marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about our relationship. I was like, what is she talking about?
Oh, no. We started this podcast in February of 2020, and I met my husband in December of 2019. And then it goes from...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it goes from engagement to this, to that. Sadly, my granddad dying. All the way to wedding post... Guys, there's
You're
content
literally your
for
whole
days.
Life is like...
it's
yeah,
in
yeah.
this podcast. So maybe we'll do an episode when I'm giving birth. Just the sounds.
You're on your own with that one, boy. I'll edit it for you. Don't worry.
You should actually do my birthing video. No coochie action. No coochie shots, though.
Okay.
Someone needs to do it.
I just feel like if I haven't had kids at that time, that would just like cement my decision
UBI,
to have kids.
UBI.
So I'm just
UBI.
Saying, if you want your kids to have cousins, I just think you should choose someone else.
UBI. Because if he can't do it, he needs to hold my hand. And you would do like a really fun video that I can play my kids. It'll be like Jan... from Wife and Kids, when she'd play it whenever they'd piss her off.
Okay. But then there has to be coochie shots.
A quick one, like 2 seconds.
No, but that's not going to scare them.
Okay.
They need
well,
to see
I laser, so I'm good with my coochie out there.
They need to get the head, see the head coming out.
This shit bald, so...
Of the birthing canal.
It's a good canal.
Oh, that's so what your embarrassment go. Is about. You didn't want coochie shorts because of hair.
No,
not
I didn't
because
want coochie.
Of your vagina.
No, I didn't
being
want
stretched beyond
I didn't want
oblivion.
Coochie. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, this is a bit gross. Then I was like, it's cute. It's pretty. She bold. She aight.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, we'll be back when we're
Have
back.
Have you seen a birthing video though? There was one that was floating around on Instagram. I nearly vomited. Someone posted it. It was. I actually was like, "What the fuck is this shit?" Ooh.
Because think about it, when you're giving birth, you don't actually see it.
No.
You just see the head come out.
It stretches so much. It looks like, I don't know. Oh man.
And that's what you want me to record. Thank you.
For the memes.
I rest my case. No.
It's from the memes.
I'll set up the camera.
It's from the memes.
Anyway, how did we get here? Lord only knows.
Yeah.
We will be back when we're back. Yeah. I appreciate all the support, honestly, like for real.
And you guys are the real ones. Share this with your friends, share this with anybody. You never know who could listen and be like, oh my god, I love this. Let's give them a $50 million contract. And then we can do this full time and give you guys endless content. Share it with your friends and listen and stuff like that. And we'll be back like a crack addict at rehab.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then. Bye, guys.